How are we doing? We nearly there with those? Yeah? Nearly there with those? Yeah? Happy? Okay, brilliant. Well, well done. That's looking fantastic. Really nice. Well, keep hold of those because we're going to use them in a minute during this next bit, okay? So, do you know what? I think for most people to believe something as big as someone rising from the dead, most people want to see it, don't they? People say seeing is believing. So, obviously, we can't see this ourselves. This happened 2,000 years ago. But like with any history, we're relying on those people who were really there and they saw it for themselves. And then they tell us and so that we can believe as well. So if I was to tell you, children, you listen, if I was to tell you that I had a pound coin in each of my hands, would you believe me? Would you believe me? Right, I'm going to come down and see if this works. So, who can we choose? Do you believe me that I've got a pound coin in my hands? Let's see if you still believe me, if someone else sees for you, okay? So is there anyone else who'd like to see for, what was your name, sorry? Erin. Someone else is going to see for Erin and then see if she still believes, okay? Over here. Yeah? What's your name? Amelia. So Amelia, she's going to have a look for Erin and see if Erin still believes that I've got a pound coin in both hands, okay? Hang on a minute. Are you good at telling the truth, Erin? You are? Okay, good. Okay, so do you want to stand on your chair? And if she can see you, give a big nod if you think it's true. Okay, and do you believe it? You do believe it, okay? Do you want to have a look? There you are, one for you. Happy Easter! You can buy yourself an Easter egg, and one for you, Erin. There you are. So it's a bit like that for us, isn't it? We can't see it with our own eyes, but someone else saw it all for us, and when they tell us, then we can believe in it as well. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a look at all the things in today's passage that the two Marys, that they saw on that first Easter morning. Now, as we go through, we're going to act a little bit like detectives, so you can get your kind of magnifying glass out, and we're going to check whether this really is true. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? So, the first clue, if you're listening carefully, the first clue is that the women saw an angel. The women see an angel. Let's listen again, and you might need your earthquake feet ready again, okay? So, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on top of it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. And the guards were so afraid that they shook. Can anyone shake? They shook and became like dead men. This doesn't sound much like fluffy bunnies and Easter eggs, does it? Easter Day is actually a bit scary. A scary earthquake and a terrifying angel. But it wasn't just the women who were there, was it? Did anyone else listen out? Who else was there on that morning? We put them up here on stage. Who else was it? Yeah? The guards were there. Exactly. So the guards, that's the next clue for you, for our detectives. The guards were there as well. So all those religious rulers did, all they achieved really, was they added more people who saw what happened. So they didn't do very well, did they? So the next thing, where are we now? So it was the guards that saw, and they were so scared that they became like dead men. So detectives, so far, we've got the women see an angel, the guards see an angel, but the women also heard the angel speak, didn't they? They heard them. So the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." You know, sometimes people say about Jesus rising from the dead, they say, "Oh, well, he wasn't really dead. He wasn't really dead. He couldn't have been." But actually, the women, they'd seen Jesus die on the cross, and they'd actually seen his body being put into the tomb as well. And also, the angel says he's pretty sure that Jesus really was dead, because he says, "For Jesus, who was crucified, he's not here. He's risen, just as he said." And do you know what? That means that because Jesus did just as he said, that means we can trust everything that he said in his whole life. Because if he hadn't done this thing, he would have been a liar, but he did. He really rose from the dead, just as he said. And so, the angel, what does he do? The angel invites them to come and see the empty tomb. So that's the next bit of evidence, the clue, is they see the empty tomb. That the angel actually rolls the stone away for them so that they can have a look. So at this point, if you want to take your craft up again, and have you got any women figures there as well? Have you got some women figures? Yeah? So if you take the women figures, and if you take them along to the tomb, and they can have a good look in the tomb and check it's empty. Yeah, can you act that out? The women come along. You have a good look in the tomb. Check that it's empty. Are all your tombs empty? Apart from some writing in there. Yeah, they're empty. Well, mine's empty as well. Look, mine's empty. Why is the tomb empty? Why is it empty? Yeah, because Jesus has risen from the dead. He has risen just as he said. Can we say that together? It's on the screen. Ready? One, two, three. He has risen just as he said. So there's no lie or trick. Like, do you know what I did with Froggy and I hid Charlie? There's no trick like that. There's no body to find because Jesus really did rise from the dead. You can't fake someone coming back from the dead. And so the women, they hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell the other disciples. Now, who here is good at running? Hands up if you're good at running. Okay, I want to see it. Up on your feet. We're not going anywhere, just knees up on the spot. I want to see who can do the fastest knees up on the spot. Ready, go on. Let's see. Got some fast runners here. Fast runners here. Oh, Reen's doing it. He's really fast. Okay, brilliant. And stop. You can sit down. Well done. Now, I wonder if you were in a running race with maybe your brother, your sister, or your best friend, do you think you'd win in a race? Those people who are running then, you looked fast. Do you think you'd win? How about against Dash from Incredibles? Do you think you'd win against him? Oh, yeah, Reen's still got his hand up. I bet you would, Reen, as well. But do you know what? I think none of us would win in a race against these women, because when you've got something so exciting, when you've got such good news to tell people, well, you run even faster, don't you? So these women, they were sprinting to tell the disciples. They just heard the best news ever, that their Lord and Savior, Jesus, was alive. But something even better was about to happen. Because who did they see next? Who did they see next? They saw Jesus himself. That's our next clue on the screen, is that they see the living Jesus. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him and they clasped his feet and they worshipped him. They actually see him and they worship. They heard him, they saw him, they touched him. This really was the risen Jesus. And so they worship their Lord and friend, King Jesus, the King of compassion, healing the sick and forgiving sin. The powerful King who stilled the storm and raised the dead. The servant King who deliberately went to the cross to die for our sin. The King who beat death so that he can raise us too on the last day. Of course, they worshipped Jesus as they met him that morning. Well, detectives, one final clue before we have another little drama. One final clue for you to check this really is true, because it's not just the women who see Jesus. Jesus gave them an instruction. He told them to go and tell someone. Who did he tell them to go and tell? The disciples, because the disciples weren't there. But he said, go ahead to Galilee, and there they will see me. And that's what happened. All of the disciples who'd been with Jesus all those years, they saw him. They saw him risen from the dead. They met him in person. And do you know what? It wasn't just them. The Bible says that over 500 people saw Jesus, who was risen from the dead. That's a lot of people who saw him alive. So, we've got all these clues. But actually, as I said before, the story, the true story, ends with a lie. So let's find out what happens. We're going to need our guards up again. And we've got a group of rulers as well who are going to come up, okay? Have you got any rulers coming up? Brilliant. So guards, do you want to stand over on this bit? And then rulers, you're going to be just here, okay? Lacey, do you want to go over there with your other guard, yeah? And rulers, you want to come and stand just here, okay? And as you listen to the next bit being read, they're going to act it out for us, okay? You're going to need this to hand it over, okay? All right, are you ready? Are you ready to listen? Let's have a listen.
All right, this is Matthew 28, verses 11 to 15. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened.
So guards come.
When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this day." That's the end of the lesson.
Thank you, rulers. Thank you, guards. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but the rulers, they didn't not believe the guards. They don't try and deny that Jesus rose from the dead, do they? But they just devise a lie themselves to cover up the truth. See, they were worried at the beginning that the disciples would lie, but in the end, it's them that's telling the lie. Now, they're saying that the disciples stole the body while the guards were asleep, and they're telling everyone that he's risen from the dead. But the guards, they know that that's not true, don't they? The guards know that's not true. So how did they get the guards to start telling lies? What did they do? Did you see? Yeah. They gave the guards a big bag of money, didn't they? Which the guards have got now, actually. you can keep it. It's not real money. I had to borrow the pound coins this morning as well. So the guards have this large sum of money, and so that they're prepared to tell people the lie that the disciples stole the body. Do you know what, though? My detective question for the guards would be, if you were asleep, how do you know that the disciples stole the body? Doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, but just finally, what do we think? Did Jesus really rise? Did Jesus really rise? Or did the disciples steal the body? Well, as unbelievable as Jesus rising from the dead may sound, all the evidence points that way, doesn't it? The women and the guards saw the angel. They saw the empty tomb. They saw and they touched the living Jesus. And then the disciples saw Jesus, and over 500 people saw the living Jesus. And many of them, do you know, actually, many of those disciples who saw the living Jesus, many of them were killed for going round and saying that Jesus died. There's this really good book that I'm recommending this Easter called Seven Reasons to Consider Christianity. And it's something it says in here. It says, why would the disciples lie? Why would they die for something that they knew was a lie? That doesn't make any sense. So did Jesus really rise? Well, the truth of Easter is that Jesus really did rise. So just finally, what does that mean? Well, it means loads of things. And if you're visiting us today or you're not usually here regularly on Sunday, we'd love to invite you to our Christianity Explored course starting on Monday the 9th of May. And that's a chance to just come in a really relaxed place and ask loads of questions about all this kind of thing. Did Jesus really rise? To kind of look at the evidence for yourself as well. But just to choose one, if Jesus really did rise from the dead, it means you can't ignore Jesus. You can ignore a dead Jesus safely enough. There's actually a verse in the Bible that says, if he didn't rise from the dead, then our faith is futile. It's silly to trust in someone who said they'd rise and didn't. But you can't ignore someone who really did rise from the dead, just like they said. But you can trust him, just like the disciples, and we should worship him, just like the women. Jesus really did rise from the dead, and that changes everything. I'm just going to say a short prayer and then we're going to sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you that for the truth of Easter, that Jesus really did rise from the dead, just like he said. And that means we can trust him with everything. And it also means that he has defeated death, that one day we will be risen with him too. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. I hope that one's still etched in your mind from Holiday Club a few weeks ago. But we've just sung, haven't we, that Jesus is the king of everyone. See, actually, Jesus rising from the dead means that he rules. That he's the mighty Lord of all. But the problem is that the Bible says that all of us have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. Do you remember that? It's some S-I-N, S, shove off God. I'm in charge. N, no to your rules. And that's what the Bible says. We've all done that. So it's a chance now in the service for us to say sorry to God. So we've got the words on the screen that we're going to pray. And if you want to mean these words, then do pray along. If you don't at this moment, that's fine not to say them. So let's say, pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in our thinking, in our speaking, in our doing, and in what we have left undone. We are sorry and repent of all of our sins for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So may God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, on Good Friday, just a few days ago, 2,000 years ago, that is when Jesus died on the cross, and he was facing God's judgment for our sin. And so one way that we regularly remember that together as Christians when we come to church is by sharing some bread and wine, which we're going to go do in just a moment. So listen out for the questions that I ask as we go through so that you can understand what we're doing. Because we're not just looking back to Jesus dying, we're also looking forwards. Because Jesus rising means that Christians will rise too. And will rise to feast with God in heaven. Some people think heaven's just about floating around on a cloud without a body, don't they? But actually, the Bible says we'll have real resurrected bodies when we can enjoy God forever and we'll be invited to his forever party. The best food, the best wine. So this meal is a foretaste of that heavenly banquet where we'll feast with God in heaven as well. So let's have the words on the screen. So we say, lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Why is it right to give him thanks and praise? Almighty God, we praise you because in love you gave us Jesus your Son to rescue us from sin and death. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has restored us to everlasting life. And we say, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. He touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. So why do we share this bread and wine? Listen out for the answer. And you can watch what I'm going to be doing with my hands as well to help us understand. So on the night he was betrayed, Jesus came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body given for you all." He then gave thanks for the wine, and he took the cup, gave it, and said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we remember and celebrate the cross on which Jesus died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for all God's people. And we say together, send your Spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ by faith, with opened eyes and hearts on fire. May we offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And every time we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we're remembering the Lord's death on the cross, but we're also proclaiming it. So as the bread and wine comes round, we'll stay seated for this and it'll be brought to you. As it comes round, if you're not used to receiving this, you perhaps wouldn't call yourself a Christian today, then feel really relaxed about just waving that away. You don't have to drink the wine and take the bread if that's not something you're meaning today. Okay? So if those are helping to distribute, can come up and help. I'll just say a prayer before we come to sing our final hymn in a moment. I'll pray for the children here amongst us as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Easter Sunday. We thank you for everything we've heard this morning, that Jesus really did rise from the dead. And that means that everything he said was true, that we can trust him. And we thank you for so many children and young people here with us each Sunday and today as well. We pray that they might grow in their trust in the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And so a final blessing as we finish. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.